This is Adam Carrico, and you're listening to 60 Frames Per Second, Episode 4. This is the podcast about the latest in the video game world. In today's episode, we're talking all about the Tokyo Game Show, the big revolution news, a certain PS3 game, a couple of Xbox 360 titles, some speedy Sega goodness, along with much more from the show. Also, we will get some news from somewhere away from the Tokyo floor. A trailer to Black, a cool free MMORPG, even an expansion to a 1997 game have all been released. Get ready, because you're running at 60 frames per second. Welcome back to 60 FPS. This week, the Tokyo Game Show hit, and it went from no news for the show to way too much. A lot of stuff will be cut from the final version, since I don't want to put out a 2-hour long show. We still don't have the intro music. I'm hoping to have it pretty soon. So, hopefully this guy is going to make it for me. I don't want to actually make it myself. Anyway, since we have a whole lot to cover, let's go ahead and begin with the biggest news of the entire show, in my opinion, Nintendo's new Revolution controller. Alright, if you haven't seen it, I'm going to post links to pictures on the site in the show notes. It really, at first, doesn't look that innovative. It looks like a remote control for a TV or DVD player, just old and classic one-hand style controller. When I first saw a picture, I was really skeptical. I didn't really think this device could do a whole lot. There were only two buttons that could easily be touchable, with another two after you reach down, but that really couldn't be done during gameplay. The innovation behind it is like a gyroscopic type control. People were thinking that it was going to be something with the gyroscope. After Wario Twisted, they kind of had a little bit going like that. But it's how they're doing it is different than what a lot of people think, and really nobody expected it to be like this. You can point at the screen and it knows everything from which direction, which way it's tilted, how far away you are, just everything about it, how you're holding the controller. It gets data from these strips that you're going to place on the side of the TV. Nobody really knows how big they're going to be, if they're going to take up a lot of space. I doubt they're going to be that huge because a lot of TVs won't even be able to fit that on the side. It has a four-way D-pad at the top, just a classic style NES type D-pad. An A button where your thumb will most likely be. A B button on the back. It's like a Z on an N64 controller. Like right at the back, you can click it. It's got the A and B, or some people are calling them the X and Y, buttons at the bottom. For NES games, if you turn the controller sideways, you have the control pad and the A and B. It has start, select, and home buttons right in the middle. No one's really sure what the home is for. I bet it's like a dashboard type thing from the Xbox. It's got online features and virtual console stuff accessible through that, so you can access all the games you've downloaded. There's an on and off switch at the top, so you can turn on and off your Revolution console from your couch. That's one of my favorite features still. It allows for attachments. Iwata showed a nunchuck type one, is what they're calling it. It was just an analog stick that you hold in your other hand. It also has two other, like, shoulder button type things on the back, a Z1 and Z2. I think that this will be one that's going to be used in most games. They said it's going to come with the Revolution console, so game developers don't have to worry. They can make a game with that in mind. So they can use it without having to say, well, we were going to lose sales from people not buying it, or if we package it in, it might cost a little bit more. Which is really great for Nintendo, and they're not going to pull a PS2 hard drive type thing on it. Other attachments are in development. Satoru Iwata mentioned a classic style shell to play more conventional games. I hope this one comes to the console as well for the same thing. Developers have the option to use it. A bunch of third-party developers have been praising the controller for all this stuff, all the attachments and the pointing, just everything about it people are loving. Many thoughts are swirling around the heads for the different things these controllers can do. Nintendo released a video of the controller. It shows it from like a TV's point of view, so you don't really see the game they're playing, but you have guesses of what it is. So everyone really thinks different things. I mean, you think probably around the same things, but you have different views on what it's going to look like, which is good for Nintendo, so there's a lot of different potential for these controllers. It's got like a man drilling teeth, these two guys cutting sushi by just hitting it on the table really fast, and there's a guy who has two of them, and he's drumming with them both. It's really cool. There's this older couple conducting an orchestra. There's this one guy playing a shooter. He's using the nunchuck as the movement tool. Then there's one that looks like it would be a third-person adventure game where they use the analog stick as the movement, but the pointer to direct a flashlight. It's just crazy. I can't wait what developers are going to do with this. They have so much potential in this controller, just like DS came out. But really, the DS, only Nintendo is utilizing the features that great. Maybe third-party developers are going to step in and really get the innovation that Nintendo's after. Nintendo also showed off some of the features to select press people. GameStop has some really good hardware coverage, some of the best, so I'm going to go through the things they did in the demo. The first one had just a bunch of boxes on the screen. It was for two different players. Each person had their own aiming reticle on the screen, a blue one and a red one. The goal was to shoot the boxes. They said it gave them a really good feel for the controller, and it had all the rumble features built in, which was really nice. The next game was Fitching. You started out with a hand as your on-screen cursor of sorts. Then you look at a fishing pole that has already been cast. You pick it up and you can move the lure around to find some fish. Once you get a bite, it like rumbles and you can flick your wrist back to pull it out. The next was a puzzle game, just where you got a rotating stick through a winding maze. Then they played an air hockey game where you control the puck and move it around the table. You can spin it by flicking your wrist for a little more competitiveness. It's a basketball game, and you make an indention on the ground to guide the ball around, and then to shoot, you just aim, of course, with your pointing device. Now, that looks really cool for a first-person basketball game to me. I really think that you could, if you do it, you could do free throws in first-person completely and stop and take a shot aiming with your controller. The next demo let you look for certain Pokemon scattered around a park, kind of like Where's Waldo. You can pull back on the controller to zoom out, then bring it closer to the screen to zoom in. You turn left and right, and you can look around the screen. When you find the Pokemon you wanted, you can zoom into it and look at it while the game registers you found it. That kind of shows the depth management in the controller. These last two demos were the cooler ones. The first one was a plane flying game. You control the plane in third person by holding the controller like a paper airplane, or just like a little plane toy if you just fly it around. They said it was really responsive and you can fly through the rings on the map really easily. They were doing loop-de-loops and turns, great precision. The last demo was definitely the best, and it's one that I'm really looking forward to the revolution for. It was a port of Metroid Prime 2 Echoes for the GameCube, but this time on the Revolution. You control it like a traditional first-person shooter, with the analog attachment for movement and the pointer to direct your gun. They said it was really fun, and it was easy to get used to, and it really rivaled PC keyboard mouse controls. I was talking in the last episode about the PS3 maybe getting a PC keyboard and mouse type thing going on with the USB slots where you can play games like Unreal Tournament on your PS3 like you're playing it on your PC. Something like this, you don't even need that. And it'll really compete with games like Halo 2 with a great control scheme on a console. GamesAreFun.com has posted some different attachments they want to see on the controller. The first is a classic shell for the controller. They mentioned it is going to be made, but they don't know what it's going to look like yet. The picture they have on the site is one that IGN made. It looks really good, and I think it's probably what it's going to look like. It's just a modification of the WaveBird. The Revolution controller fits inside the middle of it. So you have you can have the laser pointer to use at the top. You have the face buttons on the GameCube controller type thing, so you can just play more conventional games. The next is a fishing reel. It's from the fishing demos, probably where they got this idea. It might be a possibility. It's pretty cheap, so it could be included with games like Sega Bass Fishing, some older stuff like that. The next is a Steel Battalion type controller. I really doubt that they'll make something like this, but I guess it's an alright idea. A racing wheel. It looks really simple, the picture they showed. It could be really great. All you have to do is attach it in the middle of the thing and just have a steering wheel. There's added buttons on the side for acceleration and other features like that. With the gyroscope stuff, you could just hold it sideways and almost get the same feel. I did it with my TV remote to just see what it'd be like, and it really, that's all you need. You don't really need, like, a steering wheel going around. A speaker and microphone for, like, karaoke games. The speaker could be used for a lightsaber or something. When you can move it around, then you hear the sounds come from the actual controller, like it's coming from a lightsaber. That'd be really cool for the first-person games. It doesn't actually have to come from your screen. The next one's a Katamari ball. The picture looks really weird, but the control scheme for it could be possible with a pointer, actually. You could use it to move your character on screen. So, is anybody else looking forward to a Katamari Revolution? The next one is probably my favorite, the Zapper 2. This is one of those that is probably going to be made by Nintendo. The shape is right on the controller and everything, just to fit in an old-style Zapper. You can play first-person shooters in style, 3D Duck Hunt. Come on, who else doesn't want that? Finally, they have a DS player. You could put the DS wirelessly to the Revolution, so I doubt they're going to make an attachment to actually fit on the controller. They'll just let you directly do it from your DS to your Revolution. Since we're speaking about the DS games, how about let's talk about two new ones that have been announced that I'm kind of looking forward to. First one, Super Monkey Ball DS. It's a portable version of the arcade port Super Monkey Ball. You control the ball on the top screen by rolling the one on the bottom. If you've seen videos or played pack and roll for the DS, it's going to be that kind of control scheme. It has potential to be a cool Katamari-esque title if it works great. I'm kind of looking forward to it. Hopefully they make it to where the control scheme just works out really good. I haven't played pack and roll yet, so I don't know how that works. The next game that has been announced is Xenosaga 1 and 2. It's not going to be a direct port of its PS2 counterparts, since the DS, of course, can't handle it. But it's going to have a 2D view of all the action in the other games. It uses the first version's battle system and really all the other styles of gameplay from the first games. They're using real cutscenes, which is really a first for a DS title. All the other cutscenes in the games weren't really that great. This is going to use, like, real good animation cutscenes. Just like if you've played the RPGs for the PS2, you know the cutscenes play a really large role in the game. There's tons of them. They actually released Xenosaga 1, all the cutscenes and all that, as a DVD. So if you've never actually played the first game, you want to play the second one and get caught up on everything that happens, you can go buy the DVD. I hope the transition works from the 3D to 2D. I need a good RPG on my DS. There's not really any great ones out. Alright, now let's get off of Nintendo. Let's finally go to the other TGS announcements, starting off with Sony's big stuff. The biggest news for the PS3 at TGS was a trailer for Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots. A demo for it was in real time. It was going up against Killzone 2 for graphics, and it was really amazing. I'm going to post links to the downloads in the show notes, since you really get a feel for what next gen is going to be like after you see it yourself. We don't know a whole lot about the plot, except that Snake is out of retirement again, and he looks a lot older. It takes place in the future, and he won't be alone getting a robot friend's help. This might be the halo of the PS3, getting it a ton of sales. But, with the game that's great, why is Kojima stated to be leaving again? Kojima stated, this fourth Metal Gear Solid is going to be the final one for me and Chinkawa, who is the art designer for the series. There are other things that we want to create. Kojima said the same thing after MGS3, so I guess he's probably not going to be leaving, and as Solid Snake really hasn't left the series either. Some other game announcements. Grand Theft Auto 4 is going to be rebuilt for the PS3. Rockstar stated that the newest version will be split into smaller sections to give it a more lifelike feel. For example, every single soda can will have its own physics. It's going to make it more like a real city with actual things happening and not just the same things happening over and over where it just gets boring. Alright, another cool thing that is hopefully going to happen and tell us something, the PS3 controller is still not final. There's a PS3 controller on display at the show. It's usually not that big of a deal, except beside it reads conceptual design. Good that hopefully they will change it so it will actually feel good. Unlike the PS2 controller, I still get cramps whenever I play with it. The buttons are just too close together. I would hate to play Metal Gear Solid 4 with the boomerang. Katamari on the go for the PSP. Sony's finally announced a portable version of the innovative hit. It's going to be called My My Katamari Damacy. I still want it for the DS, but this just might work if the control scheme is comfortable. You can use the face buttons for the right stick and the D-pad for the left analog stick, which is going to make it a little bit harder since you don't actually have the analog stick to control it, and that little nub won't do a whole lot. GameSpy got to play two levels, both of which they said stayed true to the original. Here's the hopes for a great game that might be ported to other devices, like the DS. Gradius is going to be ported to the PS3. There isn't a whole lot of details on it, except that it's going to be a reiteration of the classic scrolling shooter. It's going to be developed by Konami for the PS3, of course. I hope they make it a cool Star Fox-esque game, like the older titles on the Nintendo consoles, with a really pretty different art style. The full PS3 lineup that has been announced so far has been posted on GameSpot. Instead of boring you with all the little details in it, I'll put it in the show notes. There are a bunch of games that look like they won't make it to America, since this is Tokyo Game Show. A Pachinko Simulator? What about Train Sim Online? A Love Adventure game? My personal favorite, the Bipedal Movement Simulator. Alright, now let's go to Microsoft and all their announcements, which there weren't a whole lot of them. They didn't reveal too many more features for the Xbox 360. I think we pretty much know the ins and outs of it, except for one key detail, the date. It's been leaked for a few days now before the Tokyo Game Show, but Microsoft officially announced it, and the newest console will debut on November 22nd here in North America. A December 2nd date in Europe and a December 10th date in Japan are a whole lot closer than most releases are, but don't you think Japan should be one of the first? Isn't Microsoft trying to get them a whole lot more than they had them with the last console? The Japanese one's going to be priced at 37,900 yen, which is around 340 bucks here in the US, and they aren't offering the core version, just the mega bundle pack thing, and that's 60 bucks less than what we're doing it. So why is Microsoft jipping us? Project Gotham 3 is going to be a launch title for the Xbox 360. It was confirmed by people at Bizarre Creations that it will finally launch with the console. The graphics on the game look great. You know, the online's going to be a leading feature, just like the previous ones. I never really liked this style of racing game. I'm more into the arcadey Burnout 3, and Full Auto looks really cool for the Xbox 360. But people who like Gran Turismo and that kind of style are really going to dig this game. Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter. There's really nothing new to announce on this title, except that some new screens have been released. The game is really shaping up to be a cool-looking title. The graphics are, in my opinion, amazing. It's really gonna be coolest launch titles are in the launch window for the Xbox 360. The only games that were featured at TGS on more than one platform were cool and actually had some news were two new Sonic games. The first is Sonic the Hedgehog. It's a next generation PS3 Xbox 360 title. In my opinion, it's one of the coolest next gen games announced. And really, I wouldn't be saying that about a Sonic Nation game. With the GameCube titles, they really haven't been that great. I saw an in-game demo. I'll give you guys links in the show notes. Don't worry about it. And I thought it looked amazing. It was at a lower frame rate, but other than that, it was smooth. The graphics were amazing for a Sonic game. Producer said that he wanted it to look like Sonic actually existed, and he succeeded. It looks like Sonic could be a real creature. A big part of the awesomeness in this title was the physics engine. It's based on the Havok engine, which is what Halo 2 and Half-Life 2 are made from. The game's physics are just amazing. He showed Sonic knocking two enemies into a brick wall, and each brick weighed 2 kilograms. And you could really tell how much they weighed. They all reacted differently to the direction and how it was hit every time he did it. He said that each thing has weight, so it's harder for Sonic to move a 200-kilogram block than a 10-kilogram. I'm really looking forward to the physics in this title. Hopefully the gameplay stands up to it with the speed. They said it was really going to be like the older 2D Sonic games, but with all the speed and everything like that. So I hope they kind of take the killing of the robots and all that, kind of put it secondly and leave that to the Shadow games and just let this one have the speed. Sonic Riders is the next Sonic game. I don't know much about the TGS coverage for it, but since we're talking about Sega's mascot, let's go ahead and look at this. It really is like a mixture of Mario Kart, Road Rash, which is an old motorcycle racing game, F-Zero, and SSX. It's really fast. Of course, it's a Sonic game, and the fighting in it is really cool. If you played Road Rash before, one of the cooler aspects of it was getting up to your enemy and just driving into them and starting hitting them and knocking them off the road. That's what they were doing in this trailer. That was really cool. It's really futuristic looking, riding these wave board things, so it's kind of got an F-Zero, SSX feel. And the Mario Kart's just because it's probably going to be a competitor to Mario Kart. I'll leave the downloads and press releases in the show notes for the trailer and all that. Finally, to the non-Tokyo Game Show stuff. This week was really slow until TGS. I had maybe 4 or 5 not-so-cool stories I would talk about. None of them are spectacular, so I X most of them. The 3 remaining are some cool games, 2 of which are really old, and 1 that will just blow you away. First, let's start out with Shadow Warrior. You probably don't remember this game, but it was made by 3D Realms, the company behind the ever-late Duke Nukem Forever. And they finally released an expansion to Shadow Warrior, which is an 8-year-old game. It's called Wanton Destruction, and it has a pretty cool tale behind it. Sunstorm completed it years ago, but shelved it. Then they went out of business, so the expansion wouldn't be found until 2005, when Anthony Campiti stumbled upon a CD that was labeled Archive Add-on 1. They released it as a free download to the people who still own the full copy of the game. Which is really hard. I doubt many people still own a copy of a 97 game on their computer unaltered. It's only $10 now, and it got a 7.2 from GameSpot back in the day. Only needs 16 megabytes of RAM to run. So if you only have 16 megabytes of RAM, this game's going to speed. So I'm going to link to the download page and the store for the games, so you can just play it all you want. A new trailer for Black, the game from Criterion, the company behind Burnout, has been released. I've been looking forward to this game from the previews and screenshots ever since it was announced at E3. It was my first time to see the game actually in action, and I was totally impressed. I turned up the sound extra loud so the speakers were crackling, and then watched it. The explosion, smoke, busting of eardrums, it was amazing. At only a minute long, it really gave me a feel of what the game will be. Just totally destructive. I can see where you're getting the Halo meets Burnout from this, and I can't wait. The download links to the trailer are going to be in the show notes so you can experience it for yourselves. Finally, we're giving you free games. I know I said in the first game I tried to give you a free one every episode, and then 2 and 3 come around, and there's not a free game in it. So we'll try to get back to this in episode 4. we're going to talk about Anarchy Online. It's been around since mid-2001, and a few expansions have been added on, a lot of updates, version 16 is in development right now. It's still trying to live, though. They have been releasing the game as a free download without expansions for a few months now, but they were going to pull the plug sometime around this month. Then, they announced the promotion will keep going until 2007. The original game got some pretty good praise, and a lot of problems that kept it from getting more are now fixed. So if you like MMORPGs, but don't like to pay for them, Anarchy Online is for you. It still has a large fan base, so you won't get lost whenever you start out. You can download the game for free. I'll have links in the show notes, but if you want, you can get the other 4 or 5 expansions that have been released. They actually cost money, and I think a monthly fee to actually play those, but it'll probably be a big part of the game since there's a lot of people still playing are really hardcore and been playing it for a while. Well, that wraps up another edition of 60 Frames Per Second. I hope you enjoyed this very long Tokyo Game Show edition. To contact us, email 60fpshost@gmail.com or go to 60framesper2nd.blogspot.com for the show notes, production updates, feed, download links, along with a whole lot more. Hope to see you next time on 60 Frames Per Second.